All right, we are live. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight, whether you're joining us on DLive or redice.tv/live, maybe on Twitter. We also, of course, broadcast to VK. We have a decent audience sometimes joining us over there as well. Sometimes, whatever, at the end of it, maybe 1,500 views on the Flashback Friday shows that we do. I think we had about 1,000 over there for the last one of these that we did. So welcome to everyone joining us over on VK. Great to have you here, guys. How are you guys doing today? Good to be back with you once again. We've had a busy week here so far. Did put up a show for members here a little bit earlier, exclusive for you guys who are subscribers over at redicemembers.com. Check it out if you haven't already. Lana's latest video, Why I Talk About Race. That's a good one. It's a little bit of an explanation, some of the background story there. Definitely check that out. We're also working on a 314 show. That's probably going to go up after this one. With a very nice lady who calling herself Mother Hen. I almost said Real Mother Hen because that's her DLive handle. They had a great conversation about homesteading, raising kids, kind of child rearing, country living, and stuff like that. Good stuff you guys need to know, especially in these times. With Corona Chan moving into knocking everything out of place, obviously. We'll actually talk about that a little bit later. Give you guys an update on what's happening with Corona Chan. Some big stories coming out on that, too. This one here, this no-go zone, will be a little bit more laid back. This time was obviously a very heavy topic. Last week, we did this last Wednesday, and I thought we could just go kind of through some of the latest news. I actually want to do a no-go zone, appropriate with the name as well, on Jewish influence, Jewish power, Jewish supremacy. And actually discuss a little bit about why we talk about some of those topics, why it's worthy focus and attention and the legitimacy of the topic, despite, of course, detractors who say it's all lunacy and crazy talk to talk about those kinds of things. But it'll take a little bit more to kind of outline. There's a lot of material, so I just have to kind of pick and choose and kind of present an image to you of why I think it's perfectly reasonable and rational to address that topic. And we can do it, of course, in a very methodical, rational way, I think, is probably. But we'll see. Maybe next week, maybe the following, or maybe 3 episodes out. It depends on how long that takes to pull together. A lot of material out there. Not an easy topic to just kind of, wander into a little bit. Because it's kind of a minefield. But just being dedicated to the name of this particular program that we do on Wednesdays, the No-Go Zone. Obviously, we'll have to cover something like that. Highly controversial, very important as well, obviously. But anyway, guys, thanks so much for joining us. Red Ice, you're watching Red Ice TV if you're just tuning in live. I also want to give a shout out to the BitChute audience over there on BitChute. Great to have you guys joining us as well in the archives or maybe the library audience. A lot of different places we live stream to and go up and archive our shows and stuff like that on too. So nice of you to join us here as well. All right, chat. Hope you guys are doing well. I think the majority is usually joining us over on DLive. So hopefully you guys are ready to dive into some of these topics here. I actually thought we could look a little bit about some of the debate debacle from last night. Unfortunately, I guess I should say, I did watch some of it. And oh man, it was a circus. It was absolute lunacy, and the groveling, of course, always reaches new heights in these kinds of things. Here was, a little kind of a boring summary, really, but some minor highlights here from what was it, LA Times. I have a couple of good ones we're going to look at too, but here's just a 3-minute overview. Let's check this out here first, guys.
Vladimir Putin thinks that Donald Trump should be president of the United States, and that's why Russia is helping you get elected, so you'll lose to him.
If you think the last 4 years has been chaotic, divisive, toxic, exhausting, imagine spending the better part of 2020 with Bernie Sanders versus Donald Trump.
I'm hearing my name mentioned a little bit tonight. I wonder why. And maybe, you know, Pete mentions what the American people want. I will tell you, Pete, what the American people want, and Joe, what the American people want. They don't want candidates to be running to billionaires for huge amounts of funding.
All right, let's Pete, clear this up once and for
Pete
all.
Pete has
this,
gotten funding you got people believing from over 50 billionaires.
My entire career has been wrapped up in dealing with civil rights and civil liberties. I don't expect anything. I plan to earn the vote. I'm here to ask. I'm here to earn. But folks, I intend to win South Carolina, and I will win the African-American vote here in South Carolina.
Well, I'm conscious of the fact that there's seven white people on this stage talking about racial justice. None of us...
That was a good one, Pete.
The experience, the lived experience.
Senator did suggest was that we release these women from the nondisclosure agreement. I did that 2 days later, and my company has said we will not use nondisclosure agreements ever again. The senator has got it, and I don't know what else she wants us to do.
Oh, I'll be
We're
clear.
We're following exactly what she asked to
do. I'll tell you exactly
and
what
the trouble
I want.
Is
the math does not add up. In fact, just on 60 Minutes this weekend, he said he wasn't going to rattle through the nickels and the dimes. Well, let me tell you how many nickels and dimes we're talking about. Nearly $60 trillion. Do you know how much that is?
No, let me go. Tom, I think she was talking about my plan, not yours.
I think we were talking about math, and it doesn't take 2 hours to do the math.
Let's talk about math. I got into this race because I wanted to fight for economic justice, for racial justice, and to make sure we had climate justice for the American people.
Great.
And I am scared. If we cannot pull this party together, if we go to one of those extremes, we take a terrible risk of re-electing Donald Trump.
Thank you. I understand how much the military sacrifices, how much their families sacrifice, and how much they are willing to put on the line. That means that we have a sacred responsibility to them, and that is not to use our military to solve problems that cannot be solved militarily. We are not winning in Afghanistan. We are not winning in the Middle East.
There you go. Okay. Kind of, as usual, obviously a circus, kind of boring, but the groveling as usual to win. Of course, the non-white vote is as high as it's ever been. It's always groveling with these people. They just cannot stand their ground and just like even address white Americans. They never do, right? It's very, very interesting. There was a couple of little tiffy-tats that did show up here in this debate as well. I have a couple of outtakes, which I don't believe they had in that clip as well. Let's check some of these out here.
Your platform, they are running away from your platform as fast as they possibly can.
I want to address Bernie later, too. It's actually an important question to deal with, why he switched kind of tone, really, from billionaires, or from millionaires, I should say, over to billionaires, when it was found out that Bernie was a billionaire, when that became a millionaire, when that became a talking point. It quickly switched over to the billionaires, right? It's not only the millionaires now, because he's one of them, including what the majority of those on stage, I believe, to be honest, are if not millionaires, some of them are billionaires. Obviously, like Tom Steyer and like the based Bloomberg there. But anyway, here's a more here.
To send those Democrats back to the
Vice
United
President
States
Biden.
House. Let's
Wait,
listen to them
Vice President
when they say
Biden,
that they don't want to be out there
Thank
defending
you,
Senator Sanders.
Whoa, Thank you, Mayor Buttigieg. Vice President Biden, please.
I guess the only way you do this is jump in and speak twice as long as you should. Here's the deal. Look, a guy is a friend of mine down here named Fritz Hollings. He passed away. He said, you want to know what a man or woman will do? Look what they've done. You talk about
what?
Concerned about race. Well, my good friend on the end of this platform, he, in fact, bought a system that was a private prison system. After he knew that, in fact, what happened was they hogtied young men in prison here in this state. They, in fact, made sure that in Georgia they did not have health care for the people who were being held. They, in fact, went on and he said, after he knew that, he bought it. And then he said he was proud of his accomplishment. You talk about what we're talking about with Bernie. Bernie, in fact, hasn't passed much of anything. The fact of the matter is,
I get to answer that.
Look, the fact is, here's the deal. I'm not out of time. You spoke over time, and I'm going to talk. Here's the deal. Fact of the matter is,
Biden showing his balls, eh?
Look at what's happening here. We have to win the Senate back. And by the way, I went into all of those races that got 41 new Democrats. The majority of them are supporting me for president.
And Mr. Vice President, I have to allow.
Okay.
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Wait a second.
Mr. Mayor, you're allowed to respond.
I bought stock in a prison company thinking they'd do a better job, and I investigated and I sold it.
Okay.
You
knew when you bought it they'd done that.
I get to answer this question. And in fact, since then, I've worked to end the use of private prisons in my home state, and we've ended it. I've started a bank to support Black ownership of businesses, women ownership of businesses, and Latino owners of businesses, because this financial service industry is prejudiced.
But again, you can't never address the most dangerous elephant in the room. Those darn tootin' white people. You can't really talk about them now, can we?
We have worked tirelessly on this.
You can address everyone else's interest in working for every single group in every capacity. And in fact, not only that, you need to. That's priority number one. Don't mention the others, the unnamed ones, the untouchables, I guess.
No, I'm right. You wrote the crime bill.
Where we come from, that's called Tommy Come Lately.
There are other people here.
Put hundreds of thousands of young Black and Latino men
in
prison.
Okay. Let me say something.
Thank you.
There's something going on here. I have worked for racial justice.
Thank you.
Completely, and that is an absolute unfair statement.
All I know is
if we
spend the next 4 months tearing our party apart, we're going to watch Donald Trump spend the next 4 years tearing our country apart. So my argument here is that we need to get back to what's happening right now. We have a clear choice.
All right, let me go for it. She's boring as hell. She's not going to be president. Let me go for it. 133, I think, was a good, not a little tiffy tat there too. They're kind of getting it. It's interesting. Tom Steyer is like, something is happening here. Something is going on here. You're being attacked, and Biden, who's losing, is trying to drag you down into the mud. Essentially, that's what's happening. Check 133:30. Let's see what this was here.
Get things done. It is not just who talks the best.
All right, shut up, Klobuchar.
Gets things done, and especially with the African American community.
Yeah, that's why I included it. Here we go again. It's everyone's got to mention all this all the time.
Been a lot of broken promises.
Peddling.
And I think having someone that keeps their promises and follows through and is going to get things done for this people matters. And that's why I asked
Mayor Bloomberg, please.
Let's just go on the record. They talked about 40 Democrats, 21 of those with people that...
This is very interesting. Listen to this, how he flubs up here. This is very interesting. Check this out.
I spent $100 million to help elect all of the new Democrats that came in, put Nancy Pelosi in charge, and gave the Congress the ability to control this president. I got them. Number two.
Okay, listen to that again. I got them. I poured millions into this to make sure that Trump wasn't been able to move. Listen.
New Democrats that came in, put Nancy Pelosi in charge, and gave the Congress the ability to control this president. I got them. Number two.
I bought them. He just says that right out. I mean, someone said in chat too, he's like by far the richest guy who's running for ever run for president. $60 billion. Well, I mean, that's the thing. That's why someone's just, fuck it. Well, let's go with Bloomberg. At least he's honest, right? He's just like, I bought those politicians. Don't worry about that. Sure, we should pat down more Blacks because they commit more crime disproportionately. That's what the FBI statistic tells us. It's like, it's funny because it's true, right? So he doesn't have that kind of, yet at least, that slick, like, kind of politician, polished, just... snake-like liar. It just it slips up, right? Which kind of makes this pretty priceless, to be honest.
When you talk about money, just put this in perspective. The federal budget is $4.5 trillion a year. We get $3.5 trillion in revenue. We lose $1 trillion a year. That's why the federal budget deficit is.
No, of course, I see that. Gordon over on VK says, freaking scumbag is pouring tons of money into the anti-gunners. Two, he's a piece of crap. Absolutely, of course he's a piece of crap. I'm just saying it's entertaining watching it, and he's admitting to things and saying things which you're not supposed to say, and that's why the whole Democratic lineup has decided to take him out and bring him down, right?
Right now, the debt is $20 trillion going up to 21. We just cannot afford some of the stuff people talk about. But if you... Let me finish. If you keep on going, we will elect Bernie... Bernie will lose to Donald Trump, and Donald Trump and the House and the Senate and some of the state houses will all go red, and then between gerrymandering and appointing judges for the next 20 or 30 years, we're going to live with this
Mayor
catastrophe.
Bloomberg, thank you. I will allow Senator Sanders a quick response,
thank
and then
you very
Senator
much,
Warren.
Laura.
Senator Sanders, a quick response, and then
thank
Senator
you very much.
A little bit more of this
Mayor here. Bloomberg has a solid and strong and enthusiastic base of support. Problem is, they're all billionaires. Now, if you look...
Well, that's all... I mean, it's also true. But again, why... These are the guys that used to talk about millionaires. Like, how many people are millionaires? Bernie's a millionaire. He's like the biggest communist, you know, socialist on the stage. And now it's just like, well, you know, well, let's go... after those billionaires, not the millionaires, because I'm in that category. We'll take a look at one of these ad campaigns later too. Speaking of, you know, just kind of communist propaganda. Really.
On the other hand, of the last
the booer there.
And Donald Trump.
I think he's a Bloomberg fan. Listen to that.
And the House and the Senate and some of the state houses will all go red, and then between gerrymandering and appointing judges for the next 20 or 30 years, we're going to live with this catastrophe.
Mayor Bloomberg, thank you. I will allow Senator Sanders a quick response.
Thank you very much,
Laura. Senator Sanders, a quick response, and then.
Thank you very much. Mayor Bloomberg has a solid and strong and enthusiastic base of support. Problem is, they're all billionaires. Now, if you look... Oh, on the other hand, of the last 50 polls that have been done nationally, Mr. Bloomberg, I beat Trump 47 of those 50 times. If you look at battleground states like Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, polling just
the polls aren't the election.
I beat Trump. And if you want to beat Trump, what you're going to need is an unprecedented grassroots movement of black and white and Latino.
Hey, Bernie mentioned white. Oh, Bernie Bros, here we come. He mentioned white people. He mentioned the unmentionables. Wonderful.
No, Native American and Asian people who are standing up and fighting.
Lace is inclusive. You can't deny him that.
For justice,
can anybody
in this room
imagine moderate Republicans going over and voting for him? And
absolutely.
You have to do that or you can't win.
You know, thank you, Senator Warren.
That is the problem. And that is that a progressive agenda is popular, Mayor Bloomberg, and for everyone on this stage. We talk about how to build a future. That's what matters. I talk to people in selfie lines every day who tell me about the importance.
Listen to that again. I talk with people in selfie lines. Can you explain what that is?
That
please?
Is the problem.
I'm a boomer, unlike Elizabeth Warren. So what is a selfie line?
And that is that a progressive agenda is popular, Mayor Bloomberg, and for everyone on this stage. We talk about how to build a future. That's what matters. I talk to people in selfie lines every day who tell me about the importance of getting real help on health care. It's why I also...
Have you guys been to any selfie lines recently? Yeah? Checking out the selfies?
Have
selfie
a way
lines?
To pay for health care that doesn't raise taxes on middle-class families. But it's so much more than that. As Democrats, we need to speak to the future we can build together. We need to speak of the prosperity we can build together. How about...
Yeah, I know. Mexi Grip... What was your handle? Mexi Grip Lombian? Bernie did say that. White people don't know what it's like to be poor. They've never been discriminated against and bullshit like that, obviously. That's making a joke.
Wealth tax in America.
Is it hostile?
Because with a 2-cent tax on just the top 0.1%, we have a chance to invest in universal child care for every one of our babies, to really level the playing field, put $50 billion into historically black colleges and universities, and start...
Get to pour money, you know, into certain racial groups here, okay?
Closing the racial wealth gap by canceling student loan debt for 43...
Can you imagine that these people... I mean, and they will get power. I mean, it's just a matter of time. And I realize Trump is not much better. I agree. But some of this insanity that these Democrats are proposing are currently being moderately held back. Maybe some of these people would be better on Israel. I doubt it. At least Bernie, we'll look at that tweet later, said he wouldn't attend AIPAC, which is pretty strong for a Jewish candidate, of course, not to actually attend AIPAC. Now, is it all symbolic? Is it just... charade. Sure, it might be. We don't know. Israel is horrible on the wars that we've seen now, on Middle East policy, on Israel and all that stuff, giving up power to the Kushners and the Adelsons and all that stuff, Sheldon Adelson. But some of the other things that some of these people want to do are currently somewhat being held back. Again, not an ideal situation. Nothing is. But you bet your ass that when some of these people come to power... they will start like fully redistributing the wealth. They will try to restore everything that they believe, not that Trump did achieve, but the things that they think that he achieved, that he was some kind of white supremacist president that uphold white supremacy or something like that, something nutty like that. This woman is crazy. She'll begin to redistribute wealth from white people to black people and to non-white people, just because it's unfair that that someone has more money than them. These people are crazy.
Million Excellent. Americans. We need to talk about our aspirations, our hopes. This is a moment, Senator, to choose hope over fear.
Senator, thank
this
you.
This is our moment.
Senator, thank you. We have to take a quick break when we come back.
There's some of the hotter moments there from the debate, as far as I saw. It's kind of, you know, mostly boring, but, you know, Bernie's doing pretty well, actually. I mean, I think he'll do pretty good. I think that the DNC will snub him off the nomination, though. He might actually win the most delegates. We'll see what happens, or they push him on kind of in the front to rig it or something like that, like they usually do. So we'll see. So anyway, that was kind of some of the highlights from that. I guess we can move on to some other topics. I wanted to cover some things quickly. I just want to go over some of the DLive chats here, guys, before I forget. Big Richie, times 14 or X14, since the diamond says, damn white people, I swear. Smiley face, thank you. Shroon, Sensei Diamond, no message. Big Rich again, Sensei Diamond. They're eating each other, and I love it. Absolutely, it's great. Kraut sends a Ninja Genie. Thank you, sir. It says, to celebrate Black History Month, I recommend Mein Kangs by by Adolf Wiggler. Absolutely. Is that out there? I would assume that's available on Amazon, though, right? Thank you, Kraut. I appreciate that. The Ugly Jew. Hey, man, how's it going? Oh, no sound. Yeah, sorry about that. I realized afterwards. Thank you for giving a heads up on that. Appreciate that, Ugly Jew. Definitely make sure to check out his channel over here on DLive. He's doing good work, doing some funny streams, and cover some good stuff as well, some controversial stuff. Big Rich, no sound. Yeah, got it now. I hope you can hear me fine. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. Boomer Tech, as they say. Hey, just quickly here, ABC News have suspended David Wright over comments in Project Veritas video, was reported here by Deadline. ABC News has said that it suspended correspondent David Wright after right-wing provocateur James O'Keefe's group Project Veritas caught him on video complaining about how politics is covered. Any action that damages our reputation for fairness and impartiality or gives the appearance of compromising, it harms NBC News and the individuals involved, the network said in a statement. David Wright has been suspended, and to avoid any public appearances of bias, he will be reassigned away from political coverage when he returns, right? This is only when these people get caught with their pants down or their hands in the cookie jar, they might decide to do something. So in case they just avoid it, like the Bernie campaign did when these violent Antifa communists came out and you know, they attacked people in Texas recently. They were caught being fairly prominent in Bernie's campaign. More recently, there was a Muslim Brotherhood-tied girl that was appointed the co-chair of the Virginia presidential campaign for Bernie, for example. These things are just kind of not talked about in wider media. Now, I think there was two pieces that came out. We're not going to watch the whole thing. We can just watch a little bit of it. You guys can go check it out ourselves. This is, I think, kind of part two, follow-up to that. Style socialist ABC reporter admits bosses spike news important to voters. Don't give Trump credit. So I think they released this yesterday or the day before. This was actually from today. Let's just check out a little bit from this video. It's kind of interesting. Some of the comments here. This is great. Don't get me wrong. It's great that this coming out and stuff like that. But this is like, you know, we're getting the proof that they're providing some proof for the liars in the media and shit like that, essentially, right? Which is exactly what we need. Absolutely. But some of it is kind of boomer tier and they don't, you know, there's other things that serves the agenda by having the Project Veritas out there. But don't get me wrong, they're doing great work. And there's just some areas they won't go into. But that's, you know, some people speculate that that's just not their choice. It's beyond that. There's other people pulling their strings and stuff like that. But anyway, let's check out a little bit from this piece here. I do like their exposés when they catch some of these guys blabbering a little bit too much.
I don't think we're terribly interested in it. Commercial imperative is incompatible with news. We don't hold him to account. We also don't give him credit for what things he does do.
Would you consider yourself a Democrat socialist?
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
I, like,
whatnot. I'd consider myself a socialist.
Today, we continue our investigation of exposing the corruption inside ABC News. What you're about to see is one of ABC's veteran news correspondents detailing how and why ABC twists their news narrative. We met correspondent David Wright while he was covering the Democratic presidential primary in New Hampshire. He says his network is misinforming voters during one of the most important elections in our country's history.
It's terrible. I feel like it's like we, like the truth suffers. The voters are poorly informed, and people also have the opportunity to tune in to whatever they want to hear. Right. And so there's no, like, I don't know. It's like there's no upside, and our bosses don't see an upside in doing the job that we're supposed to do, which is to hold, you know, speak truth to power and hold people to account.
Fucked up on Kobe Bryant and said that all of his daughters died in a helicopter crash. And that was a f***ing up. He just f***ed up. Got bad information and reported bad information and has paid the price for it. He got suspended.
And guys, they do this all the time. They mentioned Kobe Bryant or something, but they do this absolutely all the time. If you've ever been involved in a news story, they just actually, that's an interesting thing to listen to right there. They always do this. They get essentially most of the details wrong. If you've ever been, if you're like on the inside, if you will, of a news story, or you know firsthand what happened, or you're a part of it or something like that, every time I have, it's not often, but it's happened, you know, something happened in my school, for example, when I was growing up or something like that. And the TV report, they got the names wrong. They got the whole story wrong. They couldn't, like, no, that's not what happened. This shit they do all the time. So this is not, but again, it's good to kind of get confirmation of that. But here are some of these guys that just kind of blabber. Someone said, yeah, Q-tier, which I guess is kind of true in chat when it comes to the Veritas stuff.
Problems with the truth.
We don't hold him to account. We also don't give him credit for what things he does do. Again, I think some of that, at least in where the place that I work and the places like it, is that we, you know, with Trump, we're interested in three things. We're interested in the outrage of the day, the investigation, and kind of the palace intrigue of who's backstabbing who. Right. Beyond that, we don't really cover the guy.
Wright isn't just some ABC news clerk. After graduating magna cum laude from Harvard, he went on to earn a master's at Oxford before joining ABC News in 2000 as a correspondent. So when Wright says ABC's commercial imperative is incompatible with news, we listen.
It became like a profit center, a promotion center. And like now, it's like you can't watch Good Morning America without it, there being a Disney princess or a Marvel Avenger appearing. It's all self-promotion.
Right? Of course. And I mean, this is stuff most of the people that have been listening to the stuff we've been doing over the years in our show and stuff, they, you know, you guys know this, and you know, it's been exposed in different ways. Maybe not in this methodology every time, but like inside and having people blabber on a camera and stuff like that, which is great. But, you know, so it's very good that that's coming out. So check out those two videos that came out exposing ABC News. But this happens everywhere, all the time. It's just bullshit and bunk, right? But I wanted to just address this, Bernie, while we're on that a little bit. There's one kind of kind of communist-esque feel to an ad that came out too. There's some good things that's kind of embedded into that. I mean, I agree largely in terms of the anti-corporate structure. Of course, there's a problem there too, because you know all these woke companies and stuff like that now that Bernie at least on surface criticizes, they're basically right behind him in the agenda, right? It's replacement of white people. It's open the borders. It's all about GDP. And these guys might not be in it for, you know, the economic factor, but for the factor that it breaks down traditional society, and then they can have their little revolution on top of it. Anyway, so here's People for Bernie, the Twitter account, saying there is a ruling class and there is us, which of course is true. Think about who they might be talking about here. Bernie's kind of part of that now. That's what's so interesting, right? Our labor laws are outdated. If you're not too big to fail, you fail. We didn't initiate the class war in this country, but we will end it. Join us to build a movement and win the class war. Let's check this out here, too. And look at some of the kind of, it's not really subliminal because you see it for a few frames and you can kind of catch it, but these murals, and I just quickly wanted to mention something about that. Anyway, check this out here.
There is a ruling class, and there is us. For far too long, we have fought the same battles, received lip service, been used, ridiculed, and ignored. We say no more, no to the laws that favor corporate interest over us. No to the institution of greed. No to the lobbyists disguised as civil servants. Our labor laws are outdated. Our wages are stagnant, while CEOs make 300 times more than us. If you are not...
It's true. I mean, that's true, right? I mean, that is true. But do you think that's going to help with open borders? Do you think open, you know, endless migration is going to help the workers in America? No, of course not. But Bernie has switched sides on this. He used to talk about this. We played news clips on Weekend Warrior just like 2 weeks back with Bernie talking about with sitting on CNN, talking about with Lou Dobbs on CNN. These corporate interests, they're opening our borders. They don't care about the American workers and stuff. Now he switched too. Now it's like the new proletariat has to be imported from third world countries in order to break down the traditional society that America represents to these people. And they're choosing to put the label class warfare on it. But really, it's a war on white people, largely. You know, again, because otherwise they would turn against people like Bernie, who himself is a millionaire, now claims to fight the billionaires, right? Anyway.
Not too big to fail, you fail. No. We earn you your income. We play by rules while you bend and rewrite them. We didn't initiate the class war in this country, but we will end it. Unions have always set the standard. Yeah,
by mass murdering people we don't like, because that's usually what we do when we get into power. 100 years of communism and 100 million people dead. It's been kind of an ugly history, to be honest. And of course, the maggotards can't they climb over each other to call these guys Nazis instead of just saying, you know what, they're actually just they're just communists. How about that?
Minimum wage, weekends, safety. We fight for the right to bargain, to protest, to strike, and we are not done. So what's the difference this time around? How do we take on organized greed? We build a movement. We do it with organized labor.
Labor for Bernie, that's right. Did you catch some of the little subliminal quick slides there? These guys always love murals, right? You know, you can see some of the background there. Wall Street, blah, blah, blah. Let me see if I can catch some of them go by real quick. But I think Karl Marx was in there. At least they're honest about it.
Receive lip service, been used, ridiculed, and ignored.
We think there was some right after this guy. Oh, well, there you saw it. Damn, those are very quick. But they love those kinds of murals. Like Diego Rivera style. I'll show you some of those in a little bit here.
Corporate interest over us.
Oh, there they were too. See? Very quick. They love the little murals, these guys. Solidarity. Huelga contra, yeah, so it's like Latinos and stuff like that. It might be Diego Rivera. Rivera? Yeah, organized. I think Karl Marx is one of them too here. Let's check that one out.
No to the institution of greed.
Oh, okay, no, I didn't see that right. Okay, I thought one of these here that they showed right at the end was actually Marx, but I guess not. It was a little bit too on the nose, maybe.
No to the lobbyists disguised as civil servants.
You get the idea.
Our labor laws are outdated. Our wages are stagnant, while CEOs make 300 times more than us.
Okay, again, there's some things which I agree with here. It's not that it's like, you know, oy wey, capitalism will solve everything for us. Obviously not. Market forces are as much responsible as some of these socialist forces to open the borders, to make sure that wages are stagnant, make sure that they don't not only just freeze, they start going down. People lose their jobs, right? These are things that the left side used to address. But at the same time, having grown up in Sweden under a socialist system, I also know what detrimental that system is. And I mean, it's laughable to think to propose that Bernie, with 350 million people, would be able to execute something on par with what a homogenous 4 to 8 million people country was able to do, such as Sweden, Denmark, Norway, etc. Yeah, they have a democratic socialism, and there's been a lot of negative consequences because of that, but there were some good things. It was a safety net. I'm not necessarily against all those things, And again, when the moderate came into power in Sweden, in a way, the conservatives, well, conservatives, the borders were open even wider than under the social democrats, right? So these are, it's just two coins of the, you know, two sides of the same coin, right? Two wings. They ultimately, it's a replacement agenda, which trumps everything, right? So some good things come out of it, but this, check some of this thing out. I don't want to linger too long on this, but these communists, they love their murals and their little subliminal messages and stuff like that they put in. I remember writing an article, this is years ago now, about Diego Rivera. His dad was a Freemason, by the way, and the guy was married to the lady, I guess, who launched the unibrow before the Cypriotic, half-Cypriotic British model did in last week's Flashback Friday that we looked at, if you guys saw that or not. Frida Kahlo was his wife, Diego Rivera. And again, I don't know if he was a Freemason, the guy. He might have been. It's very, very possible. But his dad definitely was. There was a lot of influences there. This was painted in California. It was called Man at the Crossroads by Diego Rivera. Very, a lot of symbols in there. And again, I just brought it up because I saw, you know, those quick flashes in the Bernie thing kind of remind me of his work a little bit too. And interesting with this fresco was, believe it or not, and this is where it makes sense, the very theory that I'm talking about. This is in the Rockefeller Center in New York City. It was actually Nelson Rockefeller who commissioned this work by the son of a Freemason, an open communist. It says the Rockefeller wanted to have a mural on the ground floor wall of Rockefeller Center. No, can't speak today. Rockefeller Center. Nelson Rockefeller wanted on Henri Matisse or Pablo Picasso to do it because he favored their modern style, but, oh, it turns out they weren't available. So let's just bring in the Freemasonic communist instead, Diego Rivera. And he was one of Nelson Rockefeller's mother's favorite artists and therefore was commissioned to create the huge mural. He was given the theme Man at the Crossroads, looking at hope with high visions to the choosing of a new and better future. And some people have kind of decoded this. There's a lot of goodies in an image like this. You know, Lenin is in there. It's the scientific thing. It's war. It's some of them even literally depict a Latin American. This is just one part of the mural that I'm showing there. But one of them actually is showing how the mural shows how they're intending to open the border to the south in the U.S. And these are back. When was this done? Was this like 19? Was it like 30s or 40s or maybe even earlier? Why doesn't it say here? It was early. That's my point. It wasn't like, you know, this wasn't done in like, you know, the 80s, 70s or 80s or something like that. This is much earlier than that. I don't know why they don't have a date on that. But anyway, they showed in those murals, like opening to this, to the south, how Mexico is going to reconquer America. And with that, there comes with changing demographics, there comes a changing political nature. Yeah, here we go. Mexican painter, American, blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Rivera quickly became renowned for his communist-tinged Latin American works and his rocky marriage to fellow Mexican painter Frida Kahlo. From the 1920s to the 50s, Rivera traveled all over the Americas and even graced San Francisco with three powerful murals, blah, blah, blah. So I think this is back in the 20s, or yeah, 1929 to 35. It took him a lot of years to do that. Check that out. That's just a side note, but I brought it up because it's kind of interesting that Bernie has a little bit, he harkens back to some of these things when they run some of these, you know, communist kind of ads, some of these murals. Check that out, for example. They always love that kind of style. Very interesting. A lot of coded messages in there. Anyway, guys, check this one out. Actually, I can take a couple of DLive super chats real quick here before we move on. Shroon said, subscribed to The Ugly Jew. Yeah, definitely check him out. Shroon, again, communism ran over 100 million. Renew license. Yeah, it's time to renew license for them so they can redo some of that, right? Absolutely. And there was this one too, actually. So Bernie does do some good things, right? He does do some good things. And I thought that this was worth mentioning. The fact that Bernie said, the Israeli people have a right to live in peace and security. So do the Palestinian people. I remain concerned about the platform AIPAC provides for leaders who express bigotry and oppose basic Palestinian rights. For that reason, I will not attend their conference. And of course, based boomer MAGA Mike Cernovich replies, did you march in Charlottesville? Which is kind of, Well, Mikey boy, it's kind of cringy. He blocked the Red Ice account on Twitter after he exposed his little links to Adam Dershowitz, by the way. He ended up protecting him. There's a little Epstein circle there, too, that these guys are involved in. It's kind of interesting. But immediately, just because you oppose, you know, you gotta whip out that Nazi car, right? Again, instead of calling him a communist done or something, that's what they do, right? These cringy MAGA people. But, yeah, I mean, it's pretty good. I mean, to be honest, if he's one of the only presidents that refused to go crawling to AIPAC, or presidential candidate, I should say, great, break that tradition. Why do they have so much power? Why do a foreign lobby have tremendous power over American politics? And of course, especially foreign politics, as we know. Now, this might all be lip service in terms of Bernie Sanders. This might, you know, who knows? He's kind of serving another layer of that agenda, if you will, to a certain extent, too, I believe. But still, at least it's a symbolic gesture. And of course, immediately these guys have to come out and call him. yeah, let's call Bernie a Nazi. That's really where it's at, guys. Unbelievable. So Harshit Tiwari, a guest on 314, sent me this earlier today. I thought this was kind of funny, too. We could show that quickly. Don't know if you guys remember. Talia Lavin has, I guess, released a new book, guys. New book by Talia Lavin. That's right. He says, Lil, check this out. New book in the market. Such bravery going against white nationalists. It's called Culture Warlords, Dispatches from the Dark Web of White Supremacy by Talia Lavin. And he highlighted one passage here from it, too. Some journalists go into war zones in faraway places. Talia traverses war zones on the internet. That's right. Talia, our favorite Talia. Who's brigading and working so hard to make sure that people get censored and banned from places like YouTube. Of course, she's an old supporter of the show, this gal here. She's been lobbying YouTube together with her fat compatriots in places like Right Wing Watch and Alternative or Data and Society and stuff like that, too. Right? You guys remember? This was back in, like, what's this, August 2019, I think it was, before we were actually banned. Of course, these ladies, these very nice ladies, had, of course, continued to push for us to be censored. And I couldn't help thinking about this image, too, by the way, when she pulled this up. If she's going into war zones, you know, this is what it's all about, guys. Got to remember what we fought for. Got to remember that these fat pro-censorship women, They take one for the team, you know. We make sure that it's them who can operate freely. You know, this is what we fought the Second World War for. Real wars were fought for these people. All right, guys, let's dive into the coronavirus a little bit here, too. There's some important updates. There are now more cases reported outside of China than inside of China. One news article from claims from NPR. I guess we can look at this here. This is updated since yesterday. Big breakout in Italy. But this is what's happened more recently. 81,000, I should say, 322 confirmed cases. Very lowballing, by the way. Obviously more than that. Almost 3,000 deaths. Most of them within China, but now more cases are being reported abroad. And where it's being reported? Europe. Italy. Northern Italy specifically. They have not closed the borders. The World Health Organization is a disgrace. They are a joke. And of course, I think it's intentional incompetency that causes these people to do what they do. Absolutely. They don't want to stop this thing. They want it to break out. They want to use it. Yes, coronavirus. More new cases are now reported outside China than inside. Yesterday, the number of new cases reported outside of China exceeded the number of new cases in China for the first time. The head of World Health Organization said Wednesday in an update on the coronavirus. Outside China, there are now 2,790 cases in 37 countries and 44 deaths, right? Now, these people could have stopped it. These people could have prevented it by banning travel from China, not letting people off those damn cruise ships, putting down the foot sooner, and saying, you know what, this is not a good idea. Let's stop import-export from these countries and stuff like that, which they, of course, didn't do. And CDC has now come out as well. They're warning, essentially, that this could turn into a pandemic very, very quickly. The time to prepare is now. This, of course, also caused stock markets to plunge for a second day. We can listen to a little bit in this clip here. Homeland Security, or sorry, the health czar, as they call him, Azar, the health czar, Azar, have been talking about the coronavirus outbreak a little bit. Let's just check this out quickly, see what the see if there's anything good in the report here too.
Dr. Robert Kadlec, HHS's Assistant Secretary for Preparedness and Response, and Dr. Stephen Hahn, the Commissioner of Food and Drugs. As of this morning, we still have only 14 cases of the China coronavirus detected here in the United States, involving travel to China or close contacts with those travelers. We have 3 cases among Americans repatriated from Wuhan, and we have 40 cases among American passengers repatriated from the Diamond Princess in Japan. I want to thank the responders and communities that have worked with HHS and the administration to provide these Americans with the treatment they need. I'm also grateful to the governors and other state and local leaders who have worked with us in close partnership so far. The immediate risk to the general American public remains low. But as we have warned, that has the potential to change quickly. There is now community transmission in a number of countries, including outside of Asia. That's deeply concerning, and community spread in other countries will make successful containment at our borders harder and harder. That's why we've already been working closely with state, local, and private sector partners to prepare for mitigating the virus's potential spread in the United States, because we will likely see more cases here, as we have said throughout this episode. Dr. Schuchat will provide some more details on what that will look like, including how we would treat potential cases that arise from community transmission here in the United States. This preparation has been possible in part because of how aggressively President Trump has responded to this outbreak. As soon as we knew of the threat presented by this novel virus, public health leaders were monitoring it and beginning to prepare. The travel restrictions that the president put in place at the beginning of this month have given our country valuable time to continue to prepare, and that is precisely what those measures were designed to do.
Guys, looks like the stream is down for a moment. Let me just check that. It's actually transmitting good to Restream, so I'm not sure what's going on. Let me check DLive again, guys. Are we back? Let me see here. Let me reload. Nope, not yet. Let me check VK. I think VK is back up. Let me check here. Yeah, it looks like that's back up. I don't know why DLive has been a little choppy, actually, recently. Don't know if you guys are coming through. If you can hear me, let me check again here. Restream is doing fine. That says it's broadcasting and same thing from my software. So I'm not sure what's going on, why DLive is not picking this up. I noticed yesterday DLive was choppy. It was giving out multiple times. I had to refresh it, so I'm not sure if there's anything there. We'll just have to move forward, guys. We aim for the archived version, but it looks like the VK version is actually up still, and that's doing okay, I guess, for now. Anyway, let me move along here a little bit too. So this is what the World Health Organization said, right? The coronavirus, world must prepare for pandemic, says World Health Organization. They have said that the world should do more to prepare for a possible coronavirus pandemic. The WHO has said it's too early to call the outbreak a pandemic, but countries should be in a phase of preparedness. This is, of course, why masks are running out. This is why things now are starting to... people are panicking in places like Italy, where shelves are empty. People are buying everything up. This is going to probably spread to other countries as well as we go along. Northern Italy has been hit the hardest. Check out, here's one clip about the shelves in Italy, completely empty.
Ci sono gli scaffali della pasta vuoti. Ma che cosa sta succedendo? Manco quando è scoppiata la seconda guerra mondiale c'era stato un panico così.
Yep, so it's empty. The shelves are starting to get empty. Not fun, of course. As we previously highlighted, the stores shelves in some supermarkets in Lombardy and Veneto are sparse, while a fight over food broke out at another grocery store. Now, this is in the northern region, and again, these are people that are coming from China. They've traveled, in some cases, directly from Wuhan into Italy. And this has spread to other areas as well. Brazil has reported a case now because they're not closing it up. Sweden has also had an outbreak, actually. Actually, before we go there, outbreak spreads in Europe from Italy. So again, no one is closing the borders. No one is telling these people to essentially just stop travel, ban people coming in from in and out from Italy. Now, do something about this, right? The World Health Organization has been utterly useless, completely inept to do anything about this. As we know, of course, the economy seems to be the issue that they're that they're most worried about. The economy is going to be hit so hard that China, you know, if China tumbles, everyone else is going to tumble. Manufacturing is down. Factories are closing not only in China, they're closing in South Korea. They're closing in many other parts as well. In northern Italy, they were closing schools, churches, sports areas. Everything was closing there as well. And I saw this earlier today, too, that the coronavirus is actually in Gothenburg. Its second case in Sweden now has been detected. And it was someone who had been in Italy, of course. Right, so they travel in from Italy. They bring with them the virus. Keep in mind, this virus can survive many, many days, up to 3 weeks. They said on dead, cold surfaces. Right, and yeah, this is what they're doing. They have no intent on solving this issue. They want it to be spreading worldwide. I don't know if this is a problem, reaction, solution kind of deal. They want to offer some kind of vaccine for this. They want to offer something. You know, political transformation, change. They want to, you know, up the global preparedness level to deal with these kinds of things in the future. Someone is using this. That's the basic thing, right? They could have stopped this much earlier if they wanted to. So anyway, in Sweden, Gothenburg, a man in his 30s, and they usually don't say the names either. There's still a big question mark whether or not it is only Asians. Is there only Chinese people of Chinese or even Asian descent that are getting sick, or is something else going on here? Is that the primary group? We don't know. They seem to not say that this is relevant or not. It's just someone is infected. But again, I don't know. This could be Chinese people in Italy and Sweden now as well. Anyway, the story here out of Gothenburg says a man in his 30s is being treated in a hospital for the new coronavirus after visiting Italy. Swedish health authorities confirm the patient fell ill 3 days after returning to Sweden from northern Italy with fever and respiration symptoms, and contacted the Clinic for Infectious Diseases, said Sweden's public health agency. A test for the new coronavirus came back positive on Wednesday afternoon. The man is said to have been feeling well under the circumstances and is being kept in Sahlgrenska University Hospital for observation. I don't know anything about what Sweden's preparedness levels are for this, or if they can deal with this issue. I don't know if they have testing kits or anything like that, too. Obviously, they tested this guy. But if there's any kind of major outbreak, not sure. As we reported way back when, there was a guy that had been in Wuhan and traveled back to Sweden. He was a doctor, I believe. He contacted our health authorities and asked them, what should I do? Should I check in somewhere? Do you guys want to make sure you treat me differently or do tests at least when I come back? And they just said, no, don't do anything. There's no protocol in place to do anything. Right, so the World Health Organization is completely inept. They have ended up spending, they're a hyper-corrupt organization. They are spending, came out, this is a little bit from earlier last year actually, said that they spent $192 million on travel expenses alone last year, which is more than actually disease preparedness budgets. It's unbelievable. That they are so inept, they're so crazily behind the times, these guys. They want it, they want, I think this is what it's about. They want this thing to spread. And the head of the WHO right now is totally inept. He's obviously just reading scripts. He's being handed scripts. There's no ability for these people to try to comprehend or kind of wrap their head around it. They praised China. In the early days of this. It's wonderful. They're doing great work, actually, in fact. And look at what it has turned out to now. It's absolutely amazing. This was kind of odd, too, I thought, actually. There was a meeting in Davos. I guess that's continued. I thought that was over, but I guess not. The bankers continued to meet in Davos. Jamie Dimon, the current CEO of JP Morgan Chase, claims that he made a joke where he had a dream that the coronavirus killed Davos attendance. Now, I've been trying to find video about this from this, and I haven't been able to find it. I'm not sure if they're just keeping it down or if no one filmed it, but they're reporting on it. They're saying, I had this nightmare. This is Jamie Dimon speaking. He said, I had this nightmare that somehow in Davos, all of us went there, got it. And then we're all left and spread it, Dimon said Tuesday at the bank's annual investor meeting. The only good news from that is that it might have just killed the elite, he said, which of course is funny because if you're CEO of JP Morgan Chase, your name is Jamie Dimon, then you're part of the elite. Attendees laughed after he made the comment. Prior to his joke, Dimon noted that he hopes the virus gets contained and he feels terrible about it. Yeah, I'm absolutely sure. This video talks a little bit more about the stock markets and the economy that's affected too. So let's check this out here, guys. And I'm going to check the stream in the meantime. DLive sucks, I guess.
It's a reckoning in global markets. Investors were too blasé for too long about the risk of coronavirus. New cases in Italy and South Korea. Warnings from companies as diverse as Apple, United Airlines, and MasterCard. In classic risk-off mode, gold surged and bond yields tumbled. And oil prices plunged. Why? A global economy that runs on oil could slow and need less of it. It could also mean lower election year gas prices for consumers, a silver lining in an otherwise scary growth story. There are closed factories and quarantines in China. Ships are sitting in ports, cruises idled, goods floating, waiting for a port. Flights have been canceled, theme parks closed, business trips halted, and tourism has slowed. Now, historically, epidemics and pandemics hurt markets short term, and then the economies recover. But hyper-globalization of the past 20 years means history is not a foolproof guide. This outbreak has surpassed SARS in 2003, when China accounted for just 4% of the world economy. Today, China accounts for almost a fifth of global activity. It's impossible to know if this is the beginning of a stock market correction. That's a pullback from the recent high of 10%. That's long overdue. Or if this is an overreaction. What is clear, the election year economy will grow slower than an incumbent president would like. The White House projecting optimism, the president's chief economic advisor taking the rare step of advising long-term investors to buy the dip in the stock market. The president declaring stocks look pretty good right here. Proof again that a strong stock market and healthy economy are central to the president's re-election message.
Right. Okay, guys. Looks like we're back on DLive for you guys who are watching live. Sorry about this. It just keeps going. It goes up and down all the time. Looks like VK. I put that link in the chat. Looks like VK is doing fairly fine at the moment. So check out there. I'm not sure what's going on. Actually, we've had just a little minor caveat on that point. There has been some poll work around, which is could be an interference issue from our end. It could be from our end. Not sure. I just know that I think it was yesterday. DLive was super choppy. There was a lot of people on the platform, and it kept going going down. I had to refresh all the time. So that might be the issue. Just catch the replay. Sorry, guys, if you're tuning in live and if it goes up and down like that. But again, the VK seems to be a bit more stable. So check that out. You can also go to redice.tv/live. And catch it there in case it goes down. Let me dump that one more time in the DLive chat for you boys over there. Anyway, so the point is, where was I? The coronavirus, there's an intention, it seems like, to make it spread. There is an intention to maybe even hit the stock market hard. Maybe this is some kind of black swan event that they've been talking about. Meanwhile, at 6, which is actually, I guess, 3 minutes right now past, it's three minutes past 6 p.m. Eastern, Trump is doing a press conference to address this. Maybe we could see if we could find that real quick, too. That could actually be interesting. Tune in live to that. Now, he claimed, apparently, that it's like overblown, that it's essentially they're trying to intentionally hurt the economy, was his pitch on that. Let me just see if I can find anything on that. Let's see. Trump press conference. God, YouTube is horrible these days. Can't find anything. 5 hours ago, Trump whole conference. Yeah, okay, it's just the announcement about the. Here we go. Let's see if 6:15. Okay, it was pushed back a few minutes here. We'll put that in the background for now, and then when he goes out live, we'll check in on that real quick just to see what he says. Okay, 6:30 it seems like now, so we'll see if we go that long. Anyway, there is a live feed for that. We'll check in on that, see what his take was. But I heard something in passing that it's like, well, actually, it's not a big deal. They're intentionally rallying this up to drive down the economy and stuff like that, to I guess some argued to have a go at him and stuff like that. Not sure that's the case, to be honest. But, you know, New York Post, Twitter, a few days ago, February 22nd, said, "Don't buy China's story. The coronavirus may have leaked from a lab." That's right. Remember, Zero Hedge was kicked off of Twitter, not for stating it, but for asking the same question. You see, they can't do it. The New York Post can. New York Post, by the way, is probably most like an Operation Mockingbird operation, to be honest, considering how much interesting things they've had to do with the Epstein case. They even had embedded PGP, hex codes and stuff like that in images that people have found on New York Post in the Epstein images of, was it his little madame there? What's her name again? His good friend, Maxwell. I said Robert Maxwell, that's the father. Ghislaine Maxwell. Images of her coming out with the at In-N-Out Burger. Guys, remember that? It's very strange. Only New York Post had access to them. They had obviously been photoshopped, and someone had put in hex code, I think it's called hex code, embedded numbers, a decodable message in there in the images. Very strange. But so my point is, New York Post, they can post about this. They can speculate. Don't buy China's story. The coronavirus may have leaked from a lab. They'll have their Twitter account, no problem. Zero Hedge, on the other hand, who doesn't go along with everything the mainstream does, let's kick them off the platform. Let's check out this video they have here.
The head of a leading hospital in Wuhan has died of the coronavirus. Chinese state television reported that Liu Zhiming, the director of a hospital designated to treat virus-infected patients, died on Tuesday, making him the seventh health worker to fall victim. The number of new daily coronavirus cases in mainland China fell below 2,000 for the first time since January. But the World Health Organization warned that although Chinese data appeared to show a decline in new cases, any apparent trend must be interpreted very cautiously.
It might be coming from a lab, right? All right, guys, I think it looks like DLive's still kind of going down, up and down, whatever, but I'll just move along. I'll have to catch the replay, guys. I know it's stuttering and stuff like that, but VK seems fine, so tune in there or catch the replay later. This one was pretty good. I was thinking about the elite and everything, right? We looked at someone like Jamie Dimon, his kind of comments and stuff like that. Sorry, let me mute that. Look at the comments and stuff like that, and talking about like, yeah, it's a virus. I had a dream that it was infected and that it spread and all these kinds of things. Check out this clip here from good old Roger Scruton. I always call him Scruton, but it's actually Scruton I learned after he sadly passed away a few days ago. Talking about a shadowy parasite that extracting resources from us in order to pretend that they're taking care of us. Listen to this. Good clip from Asha Logos here.
To solve it. You can, you know, you probably belong to all sorts of clubs and discussion groups and so on. All that free association, which made the English-speaking countries what they are, still exists. It's just that there's a tax on it, roughly speaking, half of what you earn,
yes,
which goes to maintain a sort of shadow community of parasites. whose only justification is that they pretend to be governing us. You have to, you know, we belong in an organism which is accompanied by a cancerous version of itself. That's the way it is.
Interesting. Listen to that too. He mentions freedom of association in the beginning. Let's listen to that that portion again here.
You probably belong to all sorts of clubs and discussion groups and so on. All that free association, which made the English-speaking countries what they are, still exists. It's just that there's a tax on it, roughly speaking, half of what you earn,
yes,
which goes to maintain a sort of shadow community of parasites. whose only justification is that they pretend to be governing us.
Yep, they pretend.
You have to. You know, we belong in an organism which is accompanied by a cancerous version of itself. That's the way it is.
Yeah, fits perfectly on the elite, right? And I just, it came to my, you know, speaking about the World Health Organization and stuff like that, the amount of resources that they get, I saw that Sweden was pushing in like a lot of money to the World Health Organizations now. And for what? What are they doing? They're spending $192 million on travel expense, going to fancy hotels, eating fancy dinners. These are cush jobs that can just jet set around the world, pretend to be taking care of you. Then something actually happens, which is of significance. And these idiots are more concerned with discrimination and charges of racism than actually stopping a pandemic and stopping a virus. I'm almost set that it's intentional. Might have gone out of a lab, might have got out of hand, the coronavirus. But regardless, they want it to spread so that they can use it. They had tests like this, drills literally beforehand. I forget what they're called now. We covered it on Flashback Friday. This is what they want. Yeah, Battle Cat, that's Roger Scruton, that's correct. Very good guy. Passed away here about three weeks ago, sadly. What was his documentary, one of the best ones he did? It was it The War on Beauty or something like that, I think it was? Very good. Very good documentary. Definitely make sure you check that out. So check out this. It was Strucker on Twitter. Good account. Make sure you follow him over there. He had an interesting story. I missed this. It was actually from earlier in November, I think, 2019, when this was unveiled. It was, the based Pope, guys. Based Pope Francis, head of the based Catholic order there in the corrupt microstate and banking haven Vatican City. They unveiled a new statue on holy grounds, on those based and red-pilled holy grounds, where they're talking about migrants and refugees, a monument to refugees, for compassion for refugees. New York Times had it, unveiling monument to migrants. Pope Francis urges compassion for the refugees. I actually have a little bit of a video clip about this too. Let's check this out if you haven't seen it before. Interesting stuff.
Pope Francis unveiled a large bronze statue called Angels Unawares after celebrating an outdoor mass September 28th for the 105th World Day of Migrants and Refugees. Catholic News Service spoke with the artist about the message of his artwork.
The whole idea just unfolded with me by using the scripture, Hebrews 13:2, which says, "Be welcoming to strangers, many have entertained angels unawares." I thought that was one of the most beautiful passages in the Bible, and I thought if I could only give it visual form, it would be an amazing experience. And so I wove that idea with the idea of the migrant experience. The creation, as you can see here, is a boat with a cluster of people from all over historical periods, cultures that have experienced migration. And in the center are angel wings, suggesting that within these people is the spiritual. On the other side of the sculpture is Joseph and Mary and a baby Jesus, citing what Pope Francis said 4 years ago at Christmas time, is that Joseph and Mary were refugees once too. Yeah. I think that Pope Francis has to take his stance on immigration and refugees. He has to, because he has to love everyone. This is a functional sculpture. It's a tool, it's an instrument to promote the ideas that are so close to his heart. The whole idea of St. Peter's Square was designed by Bernini.
Hey, look at that. He's actually riding without the glass. Pretty bold move. It's not bad. I see him in the Pope Mobile with all the glass around him. But
promote the ideas that are so.
He's taking a risk here with. I guess the Swiss Guard has things under control here.
Close to his heart.
Among this crowd.
The whole idea of St. Peter's Square was designed by Bernini with the colonnade with two outstretched arms. And even, you know, centuries ago, this actual space was designed for a space of welcoming. Not only the pilgrim, but also the tourist, because even back then, this was a massive place where people from all different cultures and all religions would come and visit. And
maybe, but come on. I mean, obviously, this is for Catholics, right? This is for Christian people. It wasn't open borders, everyone can come here kind of deal. Obviously not, right? See how they're reinterpreting this shit? Again, the architecture is magnificent. Bernini's one of the, you know, masters, obviously. Wonderful place. I've been there as many years ago now, but I've been there. It's magnificent, all the stuff there. Highly corrupt, obviously. A lot of economic bullshit. The Swiss Guard, all the banking stuff. It's a microstate. They get away with a lot of things. Obelisks, as you can see in the center, were put up later and stuff like that there. But listen what he says about that again here. But well, all cultures not that they weren't welcome, but it was like it's obviously not for them. It was for Christians, right?
Pilgrim, but also the tourists, because even back then, this was a massive place where people from all different cultures and all religions would come and visit. And so to have this sculpture sailing in to St. Peter's Basilica just kind of reinforces what this space was really designed to do, too. A lot of the artwork around here was obviously done centuries ago. And what I find very special about this piece is looking around the people, how many different faiths, how many different races are around here. Finally, right now, you see them within the artwork. And that, in a sense, is another way, an artistic way of suggesting the welcoming of these people.
All right, great. You guys like that? Thought that was kind of funny to show. Based in Red Pill Pope, right? Have some more B-roll we can roll from this, too. Yeah, so the guy's name is, was it, let me lower that a bit, Thomas Schmaltz. Interesting choices, of course, in the very front there as well. Can't kind of avoid that. I don't know, is there any, like, Europeans fleeing to, like, America under, religious persecution and they want to be freed up and all that stuff? Probably not as much, I could imagine, right? This is a statement of today. This is why, you know, the Pope is, the based and the red-pilled Pope have talked about this many times. Europe needs to open its border. We have a destiny with Africa. He's kissing refugees' feet and stuff like that all the time. Screw Christendom. Screw Europe. It's not about that anymore. He's Argentinian. So Vatican City, with all their wealth, with as much money as they have, they took in 12 Syrian refugees, I believe. And I don't even know if they actually went to stay in any of the massive buildings that they have there, or if they were relocated somewhere else. I didn't follow up on the story. I just saw this quick searching for it. It says, what happened to the 12 Syrian refugees rescued by the Pope? I mean, that's pretty good, right? 12, considering. He's asking Europe to taking in millions, while the Vatican City takes in 12. Pretty good. When Pope Francis saved a dozen refugees from a Lesbos detention center and took them to Rome, it was like a miracle, one said. A month on, what is their new life like? Why isn't he taking in more? Right, I'm sure that they got away with them after the PR campaign was over and after the photo shoots were done. Right. Well, see, I do my part. Now it's time for you to do yours. Anyway, the sculptor there too, by the way, is Timothy Schmaltz, a Canadian sculptor based out of St. Jacobs, Ontario. He focused on religious figures, how many pieces. Schmaltz is best known for his homeless Jesus that he created in reaction to the many homeless living on the streets. Schmaltz convinces his sculptors with a keen devotion to Catholicism and gives him time to each piece, sometimes taking as much as 10 years forming the idea and sculpting it. Some of his works are created in a series and others are single pieces. I checked this out, but maybe he's something like a Swiss name, Schmaltz, I think. Didn't say anything about anything else there regarding him. So that's it. That's one of the things that are important to talk about. Like, Strucker had a couple of other things here, too. Check this out. You guys will really enjoy that. Don't know if DLive is back up, guys. If it is, join us on VK instead. DLive has had issues. I'm seeing that Restream is struggling sending data to DLive. So something's up. Something is obviously up there. But again, you can join us on Twitter, redice.tv/live, or vk.com/redicetv. Either works. Or, of course, you might be watching in the archives, which always makes it a little bit more difficult because you kind of have to cater to the stuff when you do it live. But I realize there's tons of people that don't care about that tune in on BitChute, through the website, Red Ice members, Red Ice TV later. So anyway, thank you guys for having the patience sticking out while I try to kind of at the same time struggling and cover something or try to understand, figure out what's happening with the stream at the same time. Okay, guys, let's move on here a little bit. Now, this is so Strucker had that other story about the Vatican hidden angels. So the unveiling of that new sculpture back earlier last year, or late last year, I should say. And I saw this on his timeline as well. If you don't like simulated ejaculation on a city street in broad daylight, then you're an evil hater and a homophobe. Remember, parents take their children to these pride events. Check this out. Jesus, that's loud. Sorry about that. Let me lower that a bit. Well, way too loud. But yeah, good stuff. So this is it's not a real thing, right? But symbolically, look at what he's whipping out here. This is some kind of prosthetic plastic thing. Look this. Check this out. Look at this. Look at that. Jesus Christ. So they have a little device there to spray you a little bit when you attend the events. How do you like them apples? How do you like that jizz? you better get jizzed on, bigot, or we'll report you for a hate crime if you don't like it. You know, it's a perfectly fine tradition to take your kids to. Absolutely, no worries whatsoever. I don't know where it is actually, but of course. Not very surprised. Now, speaking of mentally insane people, I want to push it down the throats of others. I found this on Twitter. It was going around, almost 2 million views, and it's about a lesbian woman who's, I guess, after a decade of showing their insanity, she's finally had enough. So she's deciding to leave the progressive left, right? And this is, of course, kind of who also the conservatives or, you know, MAGA and stuff like that, they are opening their arms to these guys. I thought we could take a look at it first, but I have a different take on it. I think it's great that it's being exposed because obviously this is insanity as she's showing in this video. But it's also interesting that it took this long for some people to kind of like, and of course many are still kind of trapped under this spell, but like these people they're crazy. They're mentally insane. The ones she'll be showing in her video here. And she's, you know, saying, I want no part of this. I'm not, don't include me in this because these people are nuts. They're crazy. Let's just take a look at it. It's about 2 minutes. It's a pretty good video, but there's a shadow side to all of this as well that we'll take a look at. But somewhat entertaining video. Let's look.
I'm not one of them. Hi, I'm Arielle. I'm a lesbian, and I don't think gender is a social construct. I don't think cis straight white men are evil. I don't believe that genital preferences are transphobic or that there are 97 genders. I don't think that male sex offenders belong in women's prisons. I don't think it's normal for people to be praised for walking around with shirts that say kill TERFs. I don't think like these people, and I no longer want to be associated with them. I've reached peak LGBT. This is my coming out video. Never in my life have I been more canceled, tortured, tormented, harassed than by members of my own community. Never have I witnessed literal mentally ill individuals who are latching themselves onto the LGBT community without actually being LGBT for the sake of oppression points, external validation, and sympathy. Never have I seen such disrespect from younger LGBT people to the older lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender advocates who have been paving the way for us for longer than we've all been alive. Never have I seen people that use the word bigot so frequently and not see the hypocrisy and irony in themselves saying it. Some of you have noticed this change coming onto my channel within the past 2 years, as I've gotten what some people would say more conservative. And yeah, I have, haven't I? Since the queer movement right now is obsessed with all these different labels, and I am a fan of labels, I wanted to share a new label of mine with you. I'm coming out. I am officially leaving the left. When it's gotten to the point where I can no longer even list LGBT or women empowerment in my Instagram and Twitter bios without people thinking I'm part of this ridiculously woke cult, when we have rules and a pecking order of who is able to speak and for how long, even about their own bodies and experiences, when we have children drag queens and think it's okay for them to perform sexually for adults, when we praise news stories like this that make absolutely no sense and do nothing for our movement or for people understanding us, when this person is praised by LGBT organizations and deemed a speaker for lesbians, and people say that straight black men are the white men of black people, and I know what they mean. I no longer wish to be a part of this. The LGBT community has become a safe haven for the mentally unstable who are not seeking help and who also aren't in any sense of the word queer. We've become so obsessed with validating everybody. How did we not see this coming? This community has become so ridiculous.
I mean, exactly. How did you not, right? I mean, I won't claim it's been decades of this because it hasn't, but some people saw the writing on the wall very early when this kind of stuff started, right? But it's like, and it's fine, right? It's great that this is being exposed and stuff, but like 2020, right, is that's when these people, some of them wake up. I mean, it's again, sure, great, expose all this stuff, but it's like, wow, it took you this long? You know what I mean? But they're trying, right? They're trying to, you know, justify it. And like, they example after example of like, these people are obviously crazy. Let's take that last portion again, because it's kind of funny when it ramps up there a little bit. But yeah,
I can no longer even list LGBT or women empowerment in my Instagram and Twitter bios without people thinking I'm part of this ridiculously woke cult when we have rules and a pecking order of who is able to speak and for how long. Even about
that. Remember that. But that's a very important point. The pecking order for who gets to speak and for how long. Remember that, because that's going to come into my critique.
Bodies and experiences. When we have children drag queens and think it's okay for them to perform sexually for adults. When we praise news stories like this that make absolutely no sense and do nothing for our movement or for people understanding us. When this person is praised by LGBT organizations and deemed a speaker for lesbians, and people say that straight black men are the white men of black people, and I know what they mean. I no longer wish to be a part of this. The LGBT community has become a safe haven for the mentally unstable who are not seeking help and who also aren't in any sense of the word queer. We've become so obsessed with validating everybody. How did we not see this coming? This community has become so ridiculously intolerant while preaching love that for the first time in a decade, LGBT acceptance is down. Anyone who goes against the grain and thinks for the...
All right, so it ends there. I guess it's a YouTube clip, you know, video, and she continues or something like that. Maybe she's continuing, you know, kind of on this, and it's like, it's great. Yeah, I mean, obviously, yeah, she's aware of stuff, she's woken up to certain things, and she's just like, she's sick and tired of it and fed up and like, whoa, okay, that's great. But it's, you know, but at the same time, it's like, okay, great, now you're doing this. But there's a flip side, and I said this on Twitter about this. I said, sure, I get it, it's good that mental illness is being exposed. But kind of using an analogy, but as the demographics of the so-called conservative movement change by having essentially open borders to their movement, it will inevitably, and already has changed, accepting progressive refugees, right? They're fleeing, they're like, it's not that they're the outcasts of, you know, the woke, liberal, progressive cult in a way. They walk away. They get rejected by it because they don't go along with it to a certain extent. But that also means that they're kind of cast to the side. And as this lady says, she comes, you know, coming out as a conservative now. And my point is, accepting progressive refugees that comes into the conservative movement is now the reason why we have Lady MAGA, right? I mean, it just, Barack Obama was against gay marriage, right? Trump came in as a Republican, and all that changed. It, you know, that momentum had started a little bit earlier. But I'm saying, this is why you see the conservative movement now lift out. If they have someone who's for, they claim they're against like identity politics and things like that, that's bad, that's evil, the left do those kinds of things. But then they signal like crazy to, if they have a black speaker or a gay speaker or a lesbian or so, you know, whatever it is that's like not white and straight. And to a certain extent, they're playing into this very same mechanism because they've accepted so many of these people that are just bringing a lot of their liberal ideas with them and say, okay, well, in the conservative movement, I welcome. Now we don't like shame each other and ostracize. Here, I'm appreciated. I'm respected. I'm lifted up. In other words, she's falling straight into another hierarchy of sorts that now exists and popping up within the conservative movement because they've never had closed borders. Do you know what I mean? And I understand some of them want to have a big tent and you know, you have a normie tier CivNat kind of group and stuff like that. And they don't have a, you know, kind of problem with that. But the fact is that begins to change and transform some of those values to more of these people that they accept. So it's great that she's exposing this. And I totally understand. And I'm on her page, you know, talking about some of this stuff. But the downside to it is that you have the values of the conservative movement transforming over, you know, in line with that as well. as the other movement is getting more and more insane. And as these people are being rejected by those insane people, they're welcoming and coming over to the other side. So I'm a little bit split on it, to be honest, right? The video she's showing here in the beginning, too, is obviously that this crazy, whatever she is, feminist screaming in the face of Lady MAGA, too. We played it on, I think it was a Flashback Friday. It's funny, obviously. It's absolutely funny. But it's crazy that's what it is now, you know. It's based drag queens, and it's Make America Great Again with all the GOP mainstream conservatives, right? So things are transforming very fast. So where are those who are still, let's say, religious, who don't like this, or those who don't approve of sodomy, let's say, because their religious text tell them not to and stuff like that? Are they welcome anywhere still, or are they also being pushed out by this kind of, by the rejects of the woke culture that pours over into the conservative movement, if you see what I'm saying? So there's a flip side to it. But sure, I wish her well. Keep exposing these nuts, because we need people doing that. But as she's doing that, yeah, the conservatives are going to begin to change. And you won't have a solid someone who's standing on a foundation which is set, set on principle. But he just keeps wavering. So let's talk quickly about Harvey Weinstein a little bit, too. I saw this earlier. Prison officials fear Harvey Weinstein may try to kill himself like Jeffrey Epstein and could house him in a private section of Rikers Island with round-the-clock surveillance. Prison chiefs are reportedly fearful Harvey Weinstein could commit suicide in jail, which is, of course, totally what happened. New York-based officials said to be considering keeping him in a private prison section. Bosses are worried of a repeat of the Jeffrey Epstein situation in a Manhattan jail. Weinstein was convicted by New York juror on Monday of sexual assault and rape. So what happens in this case? It was reported when he was heading to Rikers Island, Harvey Weinstein fell ill. So he couldn't go to the prison that day. So he had to go to the doctor and see people in the hospital instead, which of course is totally coincidental, has nothing to do with it, right? So as you know, Weinstein was convicted of rape and sexual assault in New York. There's an LA case that's going as well on top of that. And the article claims, of course, here, the billionaire Epstein hanged himself last August in his cell, which I don't believe happened. He was taken out, killed. It's now feared that Weinstein may have to be kept at a private section of Rikers Island. And this is what's surprising to me, too. There is a selection of where they send some of these guys, right? If it's Weinstein, who I think have been sold out to a certain extent, and same thing with Epstein, they put them in prisons where they don't put other convicted criminals kind of on similar, not the same charges, obviously, but of similar caliber, shall we say. And it reminded me of the story a while back when Michael Cohen was sentenced. Trump's former lawyer heads to U.S. prison that offers matzo ball soup and a full-time rabbi. Do you guys remember this? That it's interesting that there is a prison in Otisville where they send their own people, if you will, where they can have their own customs and their own religion being upheld and all that kind of stuff. But some of the other guys, like Epstein and like now Harvey Weinstein, are not getting for some reason. Now, I don't know if their position there or if it was that Cohen could choose this. I think he chose it of his own willing because, of course, he knows what's going on there, right? It says here, with a menu that regarding Michael Cohen, with a menu that includes matzo ball soup and gelatte fish, or however hell you pronounce that, as well as a full-time rabbi and a chance at the occasional visit home, the U.S. prison where Donald Trump's former personal lawyer will spend the next 3 years is unique in the federal system. Michael Cohen is due to report to the Federal Correction Institute in Otisville, New York, about 70 miles northwest of New York City on Monday. The 52-year-old Cohen will be housed in a dorm-like accommodations at the facility's minimum security camp, which prison consultants says has become a destination for Jewish inmates due to its proximity to New York City's Jewish and upstate New York's Orthodox Jewish enclaves. He's going to what I like to refer to as Jewish heaven, said Larry Levine, founder of Wall Street Prison Consultants, who served a 10-year prison sentence that ended in 2007 for racketeering and other crimes. So why Harvey Weinstein are not sent there or don't get to be sent there is, of course, very, very interesting. There was actually a segment about this when Cohen went to this prison in Otisville on Fox News. Let's check this out, and they can describe this a little bit more for us, the prison there.
Paperny says Otisville is known as one of the best federal prison camps in the country, so Michael Cohen made a good choice and should have plenty of time to write his memoir.
So he made a choice, right? He could. So again, I'm not saying that the other ones could make a choice. I don't think they could. But some of these criminals are sent here. It's a cush place. He calls it a prison camp here as well, as you heard. Listen to that piece again.
One of the best federal prison camps in the country. So Michael Cohen made a good choice.
One of the best in the country, mind you.
And should have plenty of time to write his memoir. Again, he is in that Escalade, waiting to be issued past that checkpoint, Julie, and begin serving that 3 years.
I mean, from where you stand, it looks gorgeous. From what it looks like inside, who knows? But I do understand that this is among the top 10 cushiest prisons, if you want to term cushy as a prison term. But what's it like on the inside there?
Well, I've never been in there, fortunately.
Well, that's good to know, Rick. But, thanks for disclosing that. Full disclosure.
And I think he's Jewish, too, by the way. I think his name, this report, Leventhal, that's right, says that, Rick Leventhal. It's obviously Jewish, too. It's kind of funny.
It's also the closest minimum security prison to his family, which apparently is one of the reasons why he wanted to stay up here, so that they could easily come visit him. But again, yeah, it's beautiful countryside. And it's, from what I've heard, a very nice prison camp. And it is minimum security, but he will have to follow the rules. And like our guest said, he needs to keep a low profile if he wants to
Maybe holding news conferences right before he goes to prison isn't exactly low profile, but the judge will attack that one.
All right, he didn't take any questions.
No, he didn't.
He didn't take any questions outside his apartment, and he didn't stop for me here. No. So maybe we'll hear more from him when he gets out.
you get that. It's kind of funny, right? A couple of comments came in here, too. Jeffrey Rogan of VK says, private section of Rikers Island? Why? Do they get him out of there and back to Israel more easily like they did Epstein? Well, exactly. Some people speculate on that, right? Battlecat says on VK, do you think Weinstein was as bad as the other Hollywood elite who raped kids? I don't know. I mean, it's rumored that Weinstein didn't do underage kids, right? As far as I know, Epstein obviously did. And there's as low as 8-year-old. There was a modeling agency out of the UK. That guy disappeared. As far as I know, Epstein just went for good-looking goy girls, obviously younger in age, but nothing beyond that. It's not at all. Except he had what's coming, Jim. Put him away, absolutely. But it is interesting. We commented on that before, that a lot of these women, they went along with it. They in court, they try to argue essentially that, well, he had he held power over me, but they became his boyfriend in some cases. They kept returning to him. They know that they would get favors. They get parts in movies, maybe, if they did these things to him while he, jerks off in a plant or whatever the hell, some of the stories were that came out. Really weird, bizarre stuff. But as far as I know, he didn't go for underage girls. Now, that could be wrong. Maybe that's wrong. But look at what bad condition he's into. Look at this.
Harvey Weinstein, once one of the most powerful men in Hollywood, was found guilty of sexual assault and rape on Monday and faces up to 25 years in prison, though he was acquitted of the most serious charges against him. In what is a milestone for the Me Too movement, a Manhattan jury of 7 men and 5 women convicted Weinstein of sexually assaulting former production assistant Mimi Halei in 2006 and raping Jessica Mann, a one-time aspiring actress, in 2013. Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr. said the verdict marked a new day for survivors of sexual assault.
It's a new day because Harvey Weinstein has finally been held accountable for crimes he committed. Weinstein is a vicious, serial sexual predator who used his power to threaten, rape, assault, trick, humiliate, and silence his victims.
Now, of course, there's truth to that. But my point is, some of these women knew that they would get something out of the situation. It took them many years to speak out. And when it became fashionable, that's when they decided to do it, right? So they nailed the guy. And it's like, good, put him away. Obviously, he did wrong. But it's very self-serving as well. That when it was convenient, they kept their mouth shut and they just went along with it with so many others, with the casting couch kind of approach. and then now become fashionable all of a sudden, the direction changed, and they just they're turncoats in that way, and they decided to piggyback on that issue to make it for fame or to, you know, revenge or something like that, right? It's kind of interesting. Someone said too on the Twitter chat, says, is this the type, speaking about that other ones that we saw, Otisville prison, is this the type of prison Julian Assange could be sent to if he's extradited? I doubt it. I mean, I heard some people say, like, oh, Trump will pardon Assange if he's extradited, which I doubt. He already turned his he already turned on that issue, right? He said, I don't know much about the case. He sold him out totally. No, I think Assange will be put away for life. Someone said too that they think Weinstein will be taken out. He says, Balcat, as it says, the others properly raped kids. I reckon he knows, and he can name names, Weinstein, so he will be killed. That's very very probable. Jeff Rogers says Epstein's bank on one of his offshore accounts received a huge amount of money. That's right, and the money suddenly disappeared overnight, and nobody knows where the money went. So yeah, I think Epstein is still alive. I saw something about that too, a news story. I should dig that out. We can talk about that Friday maybe. It's very interesting. I did see something about that too. All right, let's check these. Couple of more things here, guys, before we wrap up. And again, so sorry for the DLive audience. They are doing something over there. It's fucked up. It's not on my end. Restream is streaming fine, both to VK and Periscope or our Twitter account right now. So it is DLive. They're doing something. They are doing maybe upgrades on the backbone or something with the BitTorrent protocol. Not sure what's going on. Not good news. Obviously, I thought that that would be better than that, but that's where it is. Out of my hands, out of my control, Restream can't send data to DLive. So hopefully that improves, guys, and you can join us there for the live shows in the future. Otherwise, if you're watching this later in the archives, on BitChute, on Red Ice Members, on any of these sites, other places, Library, the member site, Red Ice TV, as I said, or VK or something like that, do keep that in mind. That if you do check our feeds on DLive when we go live and it goes down, or we're kicked off, whatever is going on there, do check our website, redice.tv, because from there you'll get the other feeds, right? So you can tune in live on VK or Twitter account or redice.tv/live. Anyway, so a church in Sweden, guys, last few stories here, in a no-go zone, which goes harkens back to last week when we had this really heavy show. Going through a lot of the video footage that was coming out of how people, not only in the no-go zones, but also other areas now spilling over and targeting young Swedish kids, primarily young white European Swedish males in humiliation crimes. And there's kind of like a rite of passage among some of these criminal gangs, immigrant gangs and stuff like that to humiliate Swedish kids. It's a very hostile, racist, hateful, discriminatory environment, and the authorities, of course, are looking the other way. It was a church that were set on fire in one of these areas. Over half of the area's population are migrants. A church in a Swedish no-go zone with a large migrant population was set on fire, with some claiming that the blaze were started by Islamists. Gottsunda Church, which is located in an area where half of the inhabitants are migrants, is under the branch of this Church of Sweden, which, of course, have done nothing, by the way. They have just totally gone along with this agenda. And it's, he says here too, which has repeatedly expressed its support for mass immigration. According to reports, law enforcement quickly noticed that some had set fire to the church's wooden facade and were able to alert firefighters, preventing more extensive damage. The blaze couldn't be controlled with fire extinguishers, but eventually put out by the fire brigade. Authorities say the fire was arson, but are currently refusing to confirm whether the motive was anti-religious as opposed to religious. Gottsunda is classed by the police as a, quote, extreme vulnerable area, which is a euphemism for a notorious ghetto marked by rampant crime, unemployment, extremism, lawlessness, and I'd say demographic replacement on top of that as well. Over half of Gottsunda's population of about 10,000 are immigrants. Arson attacks are not uncommon in Gottsunda. This has happened a couple of times before as well. SVT had a little video. Let's see if we can see some footage from this here. All right, there you go. At least they had it under control. Didn't seem to be that extensive in terms of the damage. But you'll see a lot more of this. My point. You'll see a lot more of this. Out of the UK, grooming gang review kept secret, as Home Office claims releasing findings is not in the public's interest. Freedom of information request refused, so minister have a safe space to discuss policy. The government in the UK is refusing to release official research on the characteristics of grooming gangs, claiming it's not in the public interest. Survivors accuse minister of making, quote, empty promises, while a man who prosecuted abusers in Rochdale called for the Home Office to, quote, show some courage and publish its findings. It comes after The Independent revealed that almost 19,000 suspected child sexual exploitation victims were identified by local authorities in just 1 year. Listen to that. That is unbelievable, the numbers, and how little press this is getting, right? Another wonderful upside to the forced diversity that has to be enforced, bi-forced every single time into our countries and then hammered with propaganda on top of it to get people to accept it. But even then, people are now beginning to reject it. Finally, Saeed Javid promised a review as Home Secretary in July 2018, pledging that there would be no-go areas of inquiry. I will not let cultural or political sensitivities get in the way of understanding the problem and doing something about it, he said at the time. I have some ads in the way. That's interesting. Weird. It says, we know that these recent high-profile cases where people convicted have been disproportionately from a Pakistani background. As far as I know, we were talking 100%, or like 98, 99.9%. I've instructed my official to explore the particular context and characteristics of these types of gangs. But the government has made no further announcement on the review following Mr. Javid's move to the Treasury last year. It has, however, said it will soon publish a national strategy that will set out a, quote, whole system response to all forms of child sexual abuse. Well, part of that would be to close the borders and then open up to talk about these things, of why it is that these grooming gangs are of non-English, non-British origin, right? A good petition that's very, very important that you can sign to help them release this data too. I was going to dump this in the comments too, guys, or underneath in the description text here too. The government is refusing to release official research on the characteristics of grooming gangs, claiming it's not in the public interest. Survivors accused minister of making empty promises, while a man who's prosecuted abusers in Rochdale called for the Home Office to show some courage and publish its findings. So about 6,863 have signed. It's going up. Let's get it to 7,500. I'll put a link down in the description text, guys, on Redis.tv, on BitChute, and Library. Check that out and go there and sign it, too. Let's get that up there, too. Ryan McPherson writes about this. We, the British public, demand the immediate releasing of the official research of UK grooming gangs undertaken by the UK government. The government is refusing to release official research on the characteristics of grooming gangs, claiming it's not in the public interest. So I'll drop that down below, guys. So definitely make sure you check that out. Important stuff. Real quick here too, Germany, update on this too. 30 injured after car deliberately rams into carnival procession in Germany. Didn't really have time to cover this yet. This is about 2 days ago. At least 30 people are injured after a car plowed into a crowd at a carnival in Germany, prompting fears of a terror attack. Witnesses say a silver Mercedes raced full throttle and appeared to accelerate into a group of children on purpose in the town of Volkmarsen at about 2:30 p.m. this afternoon, back on Monday, 24th of February. German police said that they believe the car was deliberately driven into parade goers. The suspect is a local man who was detained at the scene. Of course, no description. We don't know. We don't get that. Do you will get Charlottesville type coverage on this, do you think, in the German press or even internationally? Absolutely not. It will be covered up, depending on who drove the car, obviously. They can somehow whip out that this was a white guy and some kind of right winger or something, then yeah, you'll see it 24/7 around the clock. Haven't heard too much after that, so I suspect it's a case of a no-go zone enricher or something like that. The incident took place during annual celebrations for Rosenmontag, or Rose Monday, a carnival throughout the country, usually held before Lent. So it's a Christian event, right? European event. Police have now confirmed that all parades in the Hessen region have been cancelled as a precaution. Yep, Great stuff. Just cancel it. Just pretend it's not happening. Scotland, the insanity continues too. Politically incorrect jokes logged on police database. Freedom of speech and police resources called into question. National File reported on this here. Says a few years ago, after the high-profile Count Dankula Nazi pug case, which raised concerns about the preservation for freedom of speech in the UK, it has been revealed that offensive jokes made on social media are now being held on a secret police database. That's right. The Scottish Sun reported that hundreds of Scots are being held on a secret police database for their posts as police logged over 3,300 so-called hate incidents, right? So you can have stuff like that happening in Germany. You can have stuff that we covered last week in Sweden. But we can't keep track of that. We can't keep statistics. It's racist to keep statistics or make any assumption based on that data, based on the statistics, or that we should solve it in some way. On the other hand, if you have Scots people, if you have German people, as we've seen too, where Facebook can be fined millions by the German government if they don't take down so-called hate speech, basically anti-establishment talking points, things that are anti-narrative, they are targeting that for you know, punishment, fees, essentially in the millions on social media companies, specifically in Germany, but this is being folded or expanded into other countries as well. In order to wind up on the database, no ostensible crime has to be committed. Merely making an offensive or politically incorrect joke on social media will suffice. The official guidelines list jokes which may be motivated by hostility towards protected groups such as race, religion, and sexuality. Furthermore, and perhaps more eerily, the joke or remark can be uploaded to the database irrespective of whether there is any evidence to identify the hate element. Unbelievable. Police can also hand the information to future prospective employers in disclosure checks if the wrong thinkers files for a job application. Unbelievable, right? This is why we already have the social credit score. This is already way over the top. We're already over the cliff on this issue. If you say the wrong thing, they will block you. If you have something that goes against the narrative, they will put you on lists and they will threaten you. They'll make sure you can't get a job, can't buy a house, rent an apartment. Soon it will be electricity and water. They're going for the kill. They're going for the jugular to shut down criticism of the establishment and the global order, the things they want to enforce. Absolutely unbelievable to think of that in Scotland. Okay, I was actually had a couple of more things, but I think we should wound up right there, almost getting to the top of the hour again. Let me update this on the coronavirus real quick, make sure and see if there's anything updated in the numbers. No, I think it's about the same too. We didn't check back in on Trump. We'll see what he says about that. We can cover that Friday, maybe a little bit too much to go into that now. But there was a live stream around 6:30 on, that it's just an economic thing that they're trying to, you know, bring down the economy. Essentially, I heard was the rumor that that's what it's going to talk about. We'll see if that is the case again. Also, again, my apologies to the DLive audience. Some people said that even the Periscope and the VK feeds were cutting in and out as well. So I don't know if it's from my end. I'm just seeing Periscope and VK that they're online and broadcasting fine from Restream. DLive is not. It's trying to send data. So something might be up with DLive or my end. Sorry about that, guys. But I do appreciate you tuning in. If you're joining us later in the archives or watching the replay of the second half after the issues started, guys, so sorry about that. I don't think for that reason there came in any other live or DLive chats for obvious reasons, because there's no one over there watching. Damn DLive. I saw earlier actually a couple came in through the donor box. I can just quickly fire those off. Sherry B, I just want to say thank you to you for the very generous donation through donor box as well. Not sure if you're watching the show or not, but thank you so much. It came in 2 days ago. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. That's very, very kind of you. We definitely welcome the support. So thank you so much, guys. Andreas S. also sent, this is actually to yesterday, a little bit of a donation. And Anthony K. did as well. And I believe from today, a little bit earlier, Dimitar J. Sent a donation over on DonorBox as well. So thank you to you guys if you were tuning in. I think that's it, guys. Thank you so much for joining us here today. Again, a little bit choppy because of the DLive issue and live streaming. Didn't intend that to happen, but again, it's always archived. Again, as you guys know, always check out Red Eyes TV. It's always archived over there. Obviously, membership is a great way to support us. We always put everything up on redicemembers.com. Check out the latest video by Lana, where I talk about race, a little bit on the backstory of how she was essentially by this, her surrounding, the surrounding world, and all the anti-white nonsense. We're starting to look at it. What's up with these people? Why are they so hateful? What do they go on about? Good video. Give some of the backstory on that. Obviously, Weekend Warrior, great show to check out for you guys who are members as well. We have 134 of those in the archives. Second hour of most of the shows that we do, interview shows, are archived on redicemembers.com. Everything is, obviously, but even the second hour, which is exclusive to members. So definitely make sure that you check that out. Big thanks to all the support, guys. Big thank you to you for watching. More videos coming up, 314, as I said, later tonight with Mother Hen, 314 interview by Lana. Then we have more videos coming, Flashback Friday, of course, coming up on Friday. More stuff in the pipeline. Definitely make sure that you stay tuned. But guys, it was great seeing you all. Thank you so much for joining us. Stay brave, keep fighting. And yeah, we'll see you guys soon. And hopefully the live stream issues will be solved next time. Take care. See you later.